This beautiful lady, Belle, is actually working at one of the clubs here in Canberra.
Yes, I'm a stripper.
She is a stripper. That's something that I think is a industry that is very hush-hush and not... People feel quite uncomfortable talking about the industry, but when you think about it, a lot of the women that do work in this industry have very insightful knowledge. At the end of the day, yes, you girls are there to be there for work, but you also still form connection with a lot of the locals.
It wouldn't make it purposeful or satisfying to do my job if it was just purely dancing. Like, I love dancing, and that's important to me. Just as expression of movement and being able to like harness your sexuality and self-expression and all of that, and I love that. But yeah, the real job satisfaction that I get is when I can touch somebody's heart, like truly. Yeah, and that in turn touches my heart. Yeah,
it's rewarding.
Yeah, so rewarding.
And that, in its sense, is a passion, right? Yes. You're passionate about your career. Yeah. You enjoy what you're doing. A lot of there's a lot of stigma but attached to the sex work industry. A lot of people think that women are damaged by coming into the industry, and yes, you do get the women that come through and they have had quite a traumatic life experience and they've come for a last resort mentally as well. But there are lots of women that choose to go there and actually make it a
definitely
job.
And I can speak from both sides of the coin as well, because when I was 18 and I started, it was definitely for the wrong reasons. I was in need of validation and to sort of, I don't know exactly where my head was at. I was 18 years old, but it wasn't for the right reasons. I know that it was it was impulsive, and I wasn't doing it the right way. I was being very silly on the job, but then coming back here, coming back 7 years later, and sort of reviving
25.
I came back when I was 26.
Okay. Yeah.
It just gave me so much more. I just had such a more well-rounded view of the world.
Yeah,
I needed to emotionally mature. Yeah, absolutely. And I really needed to
work on that. It's actually so important. Yeah. Right? Like you've handled the world. Yeah, you know, you're definitely an adult. You've lived the world as an adult for a while.
You just were more well-adjusted.
Exactly.
More well-adjusted. Yeah.
But it's true. Yeah. Like you've had more life experience. You know what you want, and you are passionate about it. You enjoy it. You know? So you've come back and you know not to take any shit. Like, you won't cop it.
Yeah.
A lot of girls don't know how to say no.
Yeah.
So once you get to that emotional maturity, when you just know when your boundaries are.
You trust your internal guidance systems. Yeah. Like, you can trust your intuition to be like, all right, this doesn't feel like I'm talking to the right person right now. I felt like my intuition wasn't developed at all when I was younger. I don't think it was until I was like, 26 when I really started being like, okay, I've always had gut feelings and I've never really listened to them. Maybe I should start doing that. Which tied into a lot of my spiritual growth, just trusting myself. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm. Well, even myself, I'm 25 and I still feel so unsure of a lot of my decisions.
But
so
that's okay.
I mean, I think like you always have that 100%. Uncertainty feeling.
Yeah.
The imposter syndrome, definitely. Especially in entrepreneurship. But you're just learning to trust your gut and follow your instinct and know what's right for you. And that's why spirituality is so important, because when you're connected with yourself, you know what you need and what you want.
You know how you want to show up in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. That I like that. Yeah. That's great.
You can live authentically as well. Like, I feel like when I was younger, I was sort of doing things for other people. Like, I was showing up in the way that I thought was expected of me, how I felt like I needed to be perceived, rather than being true to myself.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was, the most power came to me when I was like, wow, I'm just getting paid to be myself. That was just like so fucking liberating.
That's actually, because when you are working for yourself, it's the most rewarding feeling. Mm. Fulfill their need to do more in life.
Yeah.
And when you're at a level of financial freedom or emotional freedom, spiritual freedom, physical freedom, anything.
All of the above.
All of the above, you tick a box, like a milestone moment in your life, and you're always going to look for more in life. But
when, more direction.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you hit a level of milestone in your life, you are constantly at a high, you feel free.
Mm.
And once you've hit the emotional freedom, you cannot go back.
Exactly. There's no going back. And the momentum only continues to build. You just continue wanting to keep thriving and get, and then bring other people into your space where you can create community. Definitely. Through that. Yeah, which is, yeah, the pinnacle, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you enjoy what you do as well. Mm, I've so literally important. I've watched you.
I'm having so much fun at work. Yeah. Yeah.
You just feel comfortable. You're in your zone. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely.
A level of, yeah, you can just see it in your face. Yeah. Like you like what you do. Yeah. And that's really important.
That's what sells.
Exactly. Yeah. That is what sells. Yeah. But it's also, it brings comfort to people because they know that you are enjoying what you do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not.
They're definitely like, there's some people just are not cut out for some industries. There's definitely been times when I've been at the club and working with the girls, and there's been some girls working there where I've just felt, I don't think that's the right environment for you.
Yeah.
I don't think you're wanting to be here.
Exactly.
You want to walk in and you want to feel like you're walking into a very welcoming environment. Yeah. Not like not necessarily the people there to take your money, you know? Like,
yeah, no.
You want to have a good time. You're there to have a couple drinks with your mates.
It's about creating a whole atmosphere, and that starts on an individual basis. Because I think that when I started, the community of girls that we have, it's very much a sisterhood, which is so rare to find in a strip club.
The industry.
Yeah, for sure. It's not a common thing where everyone's literally just looking out for each other, wants to see each other succeed. You talk to the people that you feel drawn to, and that's the way it should be. And I find that if I'm drawn to somebody, usually it's for a right reason.
What are the toxic traits that you get in the club? What are some really big things that stand out that you've experienced that have just really rubbed you the wrong way?
Most recently, like, I just went up to introduce myself to a guy, and he just looks at me and he just blurts out a number. And I'm like, what? And he's like, that was what he was rating me out of 10 on my attractiveness. And it's just like, I'm coming to you as a human. Like, I'm saying hello. Like, I guess, like, our job is to be perceived and to look nice and stuff. And I always present myself well. And it's just like, somebody that was just like, so like, how were you raised to just be like, that's the first thing that you comment about a body is what you deem as their rating on the, attractive level. Like, it's just so, I thought that was just specifically toxic, and just super misogynistic and like yuck. But another one is,
we do not like misogyny, guys.
No, we're big anti.
No. Just respect people as equals, man. Like, being too feminist, there's feminists and misogynists, okay?
Yeah,
it's equally as bad. The whole point is equality. We're here to support each other and be equal of everyone.
Empower everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not here to discriminate against anyone. We're here to be all inclusive, you know?
It's a symbiotic relationship between the masculine and the feminine.
You understand the masculine and the feminine as well.
Yeah, totally. And there's dark elements. There's the dark masculine and the dark feminine, and they work in harmony as well. Like, you have to understand the light and the dark for that all humans
have. What's the dark masculine and dark feminine? We're getting into anything.
The dark masculine can sometimes be like coded in like controlling behaviors and like a bit more like wanting, like when you think of like the divine masculine, that's like a man being able to hold space for the woman to be in their feminine energy, where they can relax a bit more. They can know that they're being like emotionally cared for. They feel safe. They feel like they're comfortable and like they can be soft. The masculine is like ideally, well, not ideally, there's no ideal, but like, it's like
the provider.
The provider, a bit more of like the leader. And I say that with like quotes because I think we can all lead ourselves, but it sort of like does just like give, they work symbiotically.
Can I also say something as well? I think this is going to be another controversial comment. We're talking about masculine and feminine. I'm just going to put it out here, it doesn't necessarily single out masculine men, feminine female. It's to do with the energies. Right, so for myself, I'm a very masculine female. I'm a very, very much like, I can be feminine, but when it comes to how I've grown up, what I do in my life, I'm a businesswoman. I'm very much, I need to make decisions quick. I need to be in my masculine to do a lot of the work that I do, you know?
Yeah.
So when it comes to being in a relationship, like, that gets tricky.
Yeah.
Because my partner...
You're so used to calling the shots.
And, exactly. Yeah. And, like, my partner very much is a masculine man, but a lot of the time there's had to be lots of swaps.
Mm,
so, yeah. like, we have to swap energy so that we can be symbiotic. Like, yeah. He can be, he knows that I like making decisions and stuff, so he can just, you know, let me just call the shots type thing in that sense. That doesn't make him any less masculine or anything. It's just more my personality is very much a dominant personality.
You're driven.
Yeah. I've had to be, you know. Yeah. But it doesn't mean I don't like being feminine either. Of course, I love being able to be in my feminine and relax.
Definitely. The true power is when you can... find a balance between the both. Because we all have masculine and feminine energy.
Exactly, definitely.
Where you want to highlight.
Where you put it,
Yeah,
right?
Where you put that energy.
Yeah, so, yeah, it could be relationships, business.
Mm. And you can wear different coats for different areas of your life.
Yes, you know? And it's like, definitely been a balance war. Like, it has been really amazing in this relationship because we've been able to swap that role together. But at the same time, there's been clashes as well because,
well, that's understandable.
Yeah. But that's any relationship. Yeah. But that's definitely something that people keep pushing for. It's like, women need to be feminine, men need to be masculine. But, like, at the end of the day, it's about the energy, not about the gender.
No, yeah,
we are
absolutely.
Feminine and masculine on certain aspects of life.
Mm.
We're hunters and gatherers, but sometimes, like, if we have to talk about female relationships and male relationships, non-binary, you know?
Yeah.
They're... all have to put out a certain energy and you need to find that balance with each other and that is masculine and feminine.
Because
you have to be hustlers.
Yeah, you're your own boss. Nobody's going to tell you to get out on the floor. You could stay in the change room gas bagging or having a whinge the entire night. You're the only one that's accountable for your own income. So that's what I love about the job as well. So
with the clubs as well, you have to pay a house fee, don't you? Yeah, to work. So what's that? $150?
$150. Yeah. So we're out of my pocket.
Out of pocket.
We're not making an hourly wage. It's all based on how many dances we get and how many tips we get. So to be rewarded by that, it's really important to show your appreciation to the dancers because
Some women end up... This is another thing as well. Women aren't being paid to be there. Women are there to basically be their own boss and to make their own money. Mm-hmm. And you need to understand a level of business and entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You need to hustle for your money at the end of the day.
It's customer service.
Exactly. At the end of the day, you need to understand people. You need to learn how to be adaptable with a personality as well.
Definitely.
How to basically be a chameleon, camouflage with that person.
Definitely. You have to understand it. You have to very quickly, within like the first 5 minutes of talking to somebody, try and suss their vibe and see what they're interested in out of the experience. Like, do they want a party? Do they want more of like a emotional connection? Are they just here to escape whatever troubles they've been having at work, or like they just want a nice chat? Like, they want to go in a room but just to talk. That happens so frequently. So it's just about understanding and reading the customer. You have to read their body language, you have to read their cues, and just be able to sort of infiltrate their psyche a little bit to be able to like show them that what we're offering is, one, valuable, and two, like, worthwhile.
It's sales.
Yeah.
See, at the end of the day, you being your own boss, it's sales. You're marketing yourself. Mm-hmm. You are selling who you are, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That is, at the end of the day, a product that you are selling.
Definitely.
And you need to understand the customer relationship to be able to sell that product, you know?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it all in all is a boss, being a boss, understanding the market and selling, you know, at the end of the day, you are selling yourself, your body to...
Selling the experience of, my body.
I do have a question. So... by having this as like your sole like income. Job, how do you manage to factor that into your financials throughout the week by week? Do you, you obviously would have a certain goal target for income that you'd want to be making in a week as a base to cover the bills, right?
Yeah.
Then obviously like your livelihood and everything. Yeah. How do you handle that? How do you manage making sure you're making ends meet plus going above and beyond?
Yeah, totally. Because, the weeks can be inconsistent. You can have a really good week or you can have a pretty terrible week. So it's about, you've got to save. You really do have to put your money away. just because it's not guaranteed. And we do go through slow seasons where then money does become a little bit more hard to come by. So building up regulars is also, oh, this is a sidetrack, but anyway.
No, but that
is, yeah, building regulars, yeah, and that's
which
all.
Which is marketing.
Marketing, yeah.
It's building a relationship to bring that customer back.
Yeah, right? Definitely, yeah. So yes, it's definitely about being interesting. So much more than what you look like. You have to be interesting, because if you can't talk and keep them engaged, they'll just be like disinterested. And for a place where your mental game is so important, yeah, you just can't be fucking with that. No. At all. Yeah.
I think a lot of this industry is very toxic when it comes to management. There's a lot of misuse of staff as well.
Yeah, exploiting. So definitely. Especially when you just look around interstate clubs and the cuts that they take. Like, some clubs take 50%.
Mm.
It's absolute, yeah, like, it's they're robbing their... They're workers, and they're not even their workers. We're sole contractors, so it's absolutely insane.
50% is way too much.
No, that is proper extortion.
Yeah, 30% is about right, I think, for when you think about the costings and everything. This is from a business perspective, not obviously the fact that you girls, you know, you've obviously, at the end of the day, they've got to run a business, so they've got... You know, they've got to cover the rental costs, overheads.
Yeah.
They've got a bar. They've got employees. They've got security working to protect you girls as well. Security is actually very expensive per hour. Yeah,
and that's crucial. And so you can't be skimping on that.
Especially having security that are capable of protecting you as well.
Thank you, meds. We love you, meds.
Yeah. There is a lot of costings involved by running something like that, especially with their licensing and making sure that everyone's happy as well. So in terms of, like, you know, the cuts on top of, you know, girls working and everything, at the end of the day, it completely makes sense. I wouldn't charge any more than 30% for that standpoint.
Yeah.
So long as you girls would be bringing the customers to the table, totally, type thing.
Well, but that's why I think our system is just the best. We have upfront the house and then we're also on top of bookings as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't go into the specs and everything, but that's for the matter.
Yeah, maybe we should keep that.
About that. But
keep that one.
Yeah, in terms of, like, business perspective, it's it wouldn't be, it would make sense as to why they would take a commission of everything.
Yeah.
So it's really important to build a really safe environment for your customers that aligns with what you do too.
Yeah.
It's creating that safe space for them, and when they feel safe and vulnerable,
that's when the magic happens
and they'll come back.
Yeah,
that's definitely. I've been a photographer for I don't even know now. It's been a couple of years. I think it's been 3 years, might be four now. But since doing it, I've worked with over 200 women, and all of these, like, I don't know the percentage, but I have a lot of these women come back for reshoots, and I've got regular women in the industry come back for reshoots every 3 months. They'll do a revamp of their portfolio, so if there's 200 women, say there's about probably 30 of those women coming back for reshoots, right? 30 women over the year, every 3 months, that already covers my year salary. It's about building creating that really important connection with my customers so that they feel safe and can come back. And in that way, that gives me the security financially to continue doing what I love. The only reason I said that was just to tie back into, you know, what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You create that secure environment for your clients to come back, meaning you'll always have that sort of network.
Definitely.
And, safety net, especially in a club that you feel safe in too.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think the flip side of the workers getting extorted, it can definitely happen to the customers as well. And guess what? They're not going to come back, because they've just been rolled. Yeah. And they're going to tell their friends that a nasty stripper took all their money. That just gives a bad rap for the industry. Like, we're really trying to dismantle the idea that sex work is inherently something to be, have shame in it. And
which it isn't.
Yeah, it's definitely not. But I think that can get a bad rap when there's been...
Bad experiences.
So, that's a really important thing for me. I always, obviously, like, I'm not going to take shit, and if somebody's just being an absolute asshole, I'm going to tell it how it is. But I feel like there always is something that you can, you can always find positive aspects of the experience. And if you can really highlight that within a person, they'll feel encouraged to come back, I think.
At the end of the day, that's sales.
It's,
building client relationships that at the end of the day, they are your client and you want them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's any business. You don't want to have a one-off.
Yeah.
You never want to have a one-off. Why the fuck would you want a one-off? If you just get paid once from one person, what's the point in that? Like, you know, you just cover the cost for that month. You know, that's it. What? No. Oh, you want to keep going. So building that that relationship is actually so important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually important talking about this in this industry because at the end of the day, the women in this industry are hustlers. You are working for money, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of you don't understand that by working for money, you're not working just to make ends meet for that one-off.
No.
You need that person to come back and want to come back to you, not someone else. So you need to understand business. You need to know how to work the system, you know, to encourage that person, build that relationship, sell your product, which is yourself. And the best thing about, you know, having that as the product is by having that good relationship with them, they're trusting you as that person. So they're always going to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
So
there's little techniques as well that really help with customer retention if you want to get,
Well, I think it's actually really important information for a lot of women to, in the industry. A lot of these women are new. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to ask, and they don't know how to, they don't understand that this is actually a business. So if you have any tips for women, like that's actually really important. So what do you think would be like the three biggest things that you would give yourself back at 18 years old walking into the club?
Oh, this is a really good question. Okay, give me a second.
We've got all the time.
I feel like the first things that come to my head is energetic practices. Like, I didn't meditate or do anything that would sort of put me in a better headspace. I didn't really know what that was. I think as well, another one just came to me. I didn't have any financial management back then. I wasn't. Now I'm basically giving myself a self-funded super account, a super fund.
That's so important.
Which a lot of, I don't know if many girls think about it, but it is so important to be putting away. So I put away money from every week. Money comes out of my account and goes straight into my investment portfolio. And that's been growing, compounding interest, whatever, for the last, I don't know, since I started. I actually did that when I was still in my retail job. So that's really important to do. Like, get therapy. I think always the therapist needs a therapist as well. And we are kind of just glorified naked therapists in a way.
Yes, we really are.
But we also need therapy because we can take along a lot on a lot of the emotional baggage. And it's really important just for our own sake of mental health. To keep on top of it. Yeah. And to, yeah, have a place where we can openly speak about anything and everything to do with work or our personal lives. So yeah, therapy, money management, and spiritual practices, I guess. I never used to do like an energetic cleanse after work. Now after work, like without fail, I will, in my shower, I'll let the water wash over me and cleanse me of any energies that don't belong to me and only keep the good and release the bad.
I think it's really important being in touch with yourself in this as well, especially in an industry where you are basically being trauma dumped every single client customer. And a lot of girls, like, think about Summer Nuts.
Oh my goodness.
How many women had to take a break the following weekend because of the emotional toll it had on them?
100%. It was carnage the week after. We were all so exhausted
because you girls are so, these women are dancing non-stop, right? If you're, you know, not only are you building on those relationships with people and selling a product, but that product is yourself and yourself is dancing, you know? So
we are sore the next day,
for physically days after, and mentally. So it's a very hard industry for a woman to be in. And a lot of people don't understand the emotional and physical toll the industry actually has on themselves as a business.
It's like, oh, you work 3 nights a week. It's like, yeah, but the other 4 nights, like, it's self-care. You know, it's self-care, it's recovering, it's making time to work on yourself so you have enough emotional capacity to hold space for others.
Yeah.
Because if you're burnt out, like you just don't have enough to give. And I know that I've gone pushed myself to get to work when I'm not feeling it. Sometimes you can get yourself in the headspace just by pushing through it, but it never, yeah, it's always better when you just go in with a clear mind and feel focused on your hustle rather than being burdened by things that are outside of your control or happening in your personal life or something along those lines.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that summarized it. I don't know.
It's very insightful. It's very important to understand that the industry, all in all, actually is your own business within a business. Mm-hmm. So when you understand that you are selling that product and you're being, you need to take care of that product too.
Without
the product, you don't have a business.
Yeah, definitely.
So emotionally, physically, you need to take care of yourself. That is actually, that should be your number one priority because that is your investment.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't work effectively if you're not taking care of yourself. And that's in every aspect, like your physical fitness, because we have to stay fit. Dancing will take such a toll on your body that you need to do your stretches, you need to do your training just so that you stay well.
Have you considered doing, side note from working at a club physically, but have you got online platforms that you've ever, like, do you do OnlyFans or anything?
I did do OnlyFans in the time of COVID when we were all in lockdown, and it was more of a, oh no, what am I going to do for money situation, rather than, okay, I want to do this to, you know, build a social presence or, build a platform. And I found it so draining. I really just did not like being on my phone all the time, having to constantly reply to messages. It sounds not that taxing, but when you really break it down and having to constantly, you feel like you end up working for other people rather than yourself. Mm-hmm. And the amount of labor that it takes and then creating content. And what I've sort of landed on is just like, I feel like when I'm having a wank, it's for me, you know, like I really did not enjoy the aspect of sharing it for people. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to think about what my face looks like. I don't want to have to think about the lighting. I don't want to feel like, oh, okay, wait, hang on. I'm just going to do this. But like, let me set up my tripod first. Like it just took it away. Like, and I think that's where I sort of landed, where I was just like, love that. This is not for me.
That's so true.
But all the power to women that can do it. All power to girls that do it, and that love it. I just wasn't enjoying it. So that's sort of why I didn't pursue that.
That's actually a very interesting take on
OnlyFans. And I love the interpersonal connection of being at the strip club. I love having one-on-ones. I love, you know, the idea of just sending out a bulk pay-per-view thing, being like, watch this, and then, I don't know, it just took away the human aspects, which is what I really think gives me job satisfaction in what I do, connecting with people. And yeah, you can only get a small glimpse of that. You can get it with online interactions, but it's just not to the same capacity that I feel most fulfilled in.
You're right, it does have an emotional toll on yourself too.
Yeah, so. I just think that the fabric of my being wasn't cut out for it.
Yeah. That's fair. I think that's, and each to their own, you know?
Watching yourself back is what I found so unbearably uncomfortable. I got into it. I didn't like
podcast.
It. Yeah. Yeah, think about the sound voice of your voice playing back, and then think about you moaning. It's not cool. I did not like that. But anyway, each to their own. Everybody else's moans a lot, just not mine.
Oh, that's so funny.
Anyway, I do have a slushie. I didn't mention that, but that's literally slushy? Just, it's like a spicy TikTok that's unregulated.
Oh.
And that you can, it's really good because it's got great findability because it's like an algorithm, so you can literally just like flick through and find the type of girls that you like, sort of thing. But yeah, that's mainly just for like my creative outlet. I feel like I love just posting my dancey videos and I don't have to worry about if my butt is out. Like TikTok.
Thank
you for listening.
Yes, thank you so much, guys, for listening to our little D&M with each other. I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we did.
In that.
But still, I'm going to be on the drive home and I'm going to be like, fuck, I didn't say this.
That'll be next week's podcast.
Yeah, there's much more to come.
There's going to be a lot of questions following this that we can then expand on. So thank you guys for listening, for those that stayed through.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Sending love and gratitude.
Oh shit, it wasn't recording.
Oh no.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming in. And thank you for speaking of this. Can't wait to the next one, and it's going to be amazing.
Yes, we'll be bringing James on board for the next one.
Thank you so much.
I'll make sure to bring all my voices with me.
Yes.
Yay, that was exciting. Thank you so much for having me as well. I want to say a big thank you to you too for bringing me on board, and it's been really awesome. This is very new to me, so it's really stepping outside of my comfort zone. And
I think this is going
to
be great.
This is awesome. So I'm so excited.